Hello and welcome to the online services of Celtis First Baptist Church here in Lufkin, Texas. My name is Aaron Wilson and I'm the pastor to families here at Celtis, and I'm glad that you're tuning in to watch with us. We'd all much rather be meeting in person, but by now we all know that because of the coronavirus, we are having to come into your home via internet. And aren't you thankful for the gift of technology that the Lord has given us that allows us to do this right now? These are unique times, and until we can meet together again, we're glad that you're watching. Well, even though you're in the comforts of your home, we want to make sure that this time is a special time, a sacred time, actually. And so we want to make sure that you're watching during a time of the day when your family can be undistracted from things around you. In fact, it's not as important when you watch this service today as it is how you watch the service, because we believe that worship is sacred. So pick out a time, either now or later today, when there are no distractions and your family can watch and participate in the service. By participating, I mean that when Pastor Paul reads the scripture here in just a little bit, that you read the scripture along with him. That when Pastor Dave leads us in singing songs of praise, you and your family join in and sing out loud. Maybe your neighbors would even hear you next door. And when Pastor Mark preaches, the way you participate in that is by listening, obeying, responding. Maybe you could even amen from your comfortable couch. Well, we're so glad that you've tuned in with us. And one of the things we like to remind you of is our mission partners. Each week at Celtis, we highlight one of our mission partners and give you ways that you can pray for them, up-to-date prayer requests. And so this week, we will be featuring Ali Chambers. Ali is one of the pastors at Mosaic Church in Memphis, and he will be joining us tonight here on Facebook Live on our private church Facebook page, and he'll give you some ways that you can be praying for him, his family, and their ministry there in Memphis. So that's tonight, April 19th at 7 p.m. on our private Facebook page. This is for our church members to see one of our mission partners. So we hope you'll tune into that, that you'll support Ali, let him know you're praying for him, and ask him any questions you may have about his ministry. So we hope to see you at 7 p.m. on our private Facebook page for a live video feed with Ali Chambers. Well, thank you again for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the service.
Hi, Church family.
Church family, I hope this finds everybody doing good and are doing okay.
Hi, Celtis family. Brian and Jennifer Drake here. New members to Celtis a couple of months ago. We miss y'all.
Hey there, everybody. It's the Dudley family here.
Hi, everybody. It's Dudley Mitchell.
We're the Ham family. I'm James. And as far as things that we really miss about Celtis, I'd have to say the top of the list is Danny Butler's ties.
And I'm Carrie, and I really, really miss our home groups and seeing everyone I'm visiting.
Jen and I were just talking that we thought maybe after we became members, y'all are still meeting and just told us to kind of hang out here. So we're wondering, is that really what's going on? Are y'all still at church and we're just out here?
We're being told to stay at home.
I sure miss being with everybody and the fellowship that we all have together.
We know this pandemic has brought about some really challenging times, and we definitely miss meeting together corporately to worship as the body of Christ. But we trust in the Lord's sovereign control during this time.
Hi, I'm Jonathan, and I really miss Awanas and telling scripture memory to your teachers.
Hi, I'm Liberty, and I miss Awanas and snack time.
Hi, I'm Danny, and I miss Awana and game time.
I'm very thankful that God has provided a way that we might have the scriptures taught to us each Sunday morning. And I'm also thankful that God has given us pastors that are committed to Him and to teaching the gospel.
May we keep our minds stayed on Him because we trust Him, so that we can intentionally live in His peace every day.
I miss everybody. I hope we'll be back together soon. Take care. Love y'all. Bye.
God bless you.
Can't wait to see you.
We miss y'all. Stay safe.
Bye, guys.
Oh, Hope to see you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye.
And by the way, don't be late for church this morning.
Today we're going to be reading Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. As you're turning there, I'd like to point out that this is one of the one another passages found in the New Testament. And the pastors have been greatly encouraged as we've heard and seen the ways in which you, the church body, have been putting this passage into practice. Even though these times are different and we've been having to meet together virtually rather than in person, it is still such an encouragement to see you guys living this out. So let's read this together. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Join me as we pray for our services today. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, first of all, thankful for you sending your Son to die on the cross for our sin. We're thankful for you raising him to new life again and giving us this free gift of salvation. Father, we pray for our services today. We pray that you would be glorified in the way in which we worship you, that as we gather together in our homes, that we would sing out and that we would glorify you as a family. We pray for the time of preaching, that we would clearly hear your word taught, and that we would walk away from this service with a deeper understanding of you. Father, we're thankful for the body and the way in which they've continued to love one another and to stir one another up to good works. And as they've continued to meet together, even though it's looked different and it's been virtually rather than in person, we're so thankful for the diligence of your body to continue to meet together and encourage each other. So, Father, we pray for our service today that, again, that you would be worshiped and that you would be glorified in this time. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now join us as Pastor Dave leads us in worship through song.
Well, we want your family to join us as we sing this great old hymn that reminds us that even in difficult times, God has given us tremendous blessings. Let's sing, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melody, a sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Raise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Well, the next verse says, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer." Ebenezer meaning stone of help. In other words, God is our only source of help. Let's sing this together. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interpose his precious blood. Oh, to grace, thou great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Grow to wander, Lord, I feel it. Grow to leave the God I love. Is my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Oh, that day when free from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, clothed in the blood-washed linen. take my ransom soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Oh, and we look forward to that day. And now we want to praise him. We want to praise Jesus for who he is and what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us. So let's sing Before the Throne of God Above.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the gift within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
Good morning, church family. Pastor Mark here. It's good to be with you coming into your homes today. I wish we were live, but we're not. But let me encourage you. Let's spend a little bit of time in God's Word. Let's take our Bibles. Let's open them to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The title of the message today is called Our Hope. Hope. That's where I want to begin. We all need hope. We need it to get up every day. We need it to continue. We need it in the crisis that we find ourselves in. Here's the good news. We as Christians have the greatest hope in all the world. His name is Jesus Christ. And as we open 1 John and we look at the first four verses, John wants to remind us of our hope, our unmovable, unshakable, steady, firm hope. You know, the interesting thing, though, is that we live in a world that is very, very unsteady, very movable, very shaky. People are realizing that right now more than ever. They're seeing their money and their jobs potentially, sadly, drift away. They're seeing health that they thought maybe was invincible for them become very concerning. They're seeing the nation, the government, everything. Humanity has kind of come to this place where we realize, hey, you know what? Things are not as firm. Things are not as strong as we thought they were. I'm reminded of the Titanic. You know, I have two sons and they love the Titanic. One of my sons in particular, he's a big Titanic fan. He has the big Titanic model and he has all these Titanic ships that he's built out of Legos. And I think about the Titanic in that statement. You know, they thought truthfully that the Titanic could not be sunk. It was the unsinkable ship. and yet it sunk. That's the way the world is right now. I think a lot of people are realizing, hey, the boat has leaked. It has sunk. It has struck the iceberg, and it's not as strong and stable as we thought it was. But the Christian can come right into that shaky situation, and the Christian can bring stability, have encouragement, have hope in the midst of anything that's going on around us. And that's what John wants to remind us of today. We have hope amidst this world and amidst this crisis. So where do you go when you realize the world is sinking sand? Well, you go to one place. You go to that hope. That's the solid ground. Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We need to be reminded of that hope today, and that's what John's going to do. So let's look at 1 John. Let's start a little temporary series that we're going to do until this quarantine is over, and we're going to just be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ. Now, what John wants to get across to us is three truths about Jesus, our hope that we have. Number one, he's going to tell us that our hope in Christ is a real hope. He's going to talk about the reality of Jesus. Number two, he's going to say that our hope in Jesus Christ is intentional hope. Christ has an intentionality to his mission, to his work, to his person, and he passes that intentionality on to us. Thirdly, he's going to show us that our hope in Christ is not only real and not only intentional, but it is relational. Real, intentional, relational. That is our hope. And as we open up 1 John and we look at those first four verses, real, intentional, relational, just kind of come out at us. So let's break all three of those down together in 1 John 1, 1 through 4. Number one, real. Our hope in Jesus Christ is real. Now, what do we mean by real? Well, as John begins this letter, notice how he begins it about the person of Jesus Christ. He's talking about Christ. He says in 1 John 1, 1, that, or if you're looking at the New King James or King James, what? Okay, either way, that which was from the beginning or what was from the beginning. Okay, it's an emphatic statement. What which was from the beginning. He's talking there about Jesus. Jesus is the that. Jesus is the what that was from the beginning. He's starting his letter emphasizing Christ. The beginning there is the beginning of time and the beginning of the gospel message. Now, he goes on to say that which we have heard, notice, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now that right there, the word of life, tips you off that he's talking about Jesus. Jesus was the word made flesh. He was the life that was the light of men. He is the word of life. So what John is getting across here is that our hope in Christ is not a spiritual hope only. It's not a psychological hope. It's not a metaphysical hope. It's not an emotional hope. It is a real, real hope in a real person called Jesus Christ. That which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, which we have physically touched with our hands, this word of life, that which was from the beginning, Jesus Christ. Now, why does John begin 1 John this way, talking about the reality of Jesus Christ? Well, it's really interesting because last week in our Resurrection Sunday sermon, I talked to you about the physical bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how important that was. And it was extremely important because as we come to 1 John, we come now to the latter part of the Apostle John's life. He is an old man when he pens 1 John. The other apostles have all died away. He is the last. Church history tells us, the early church fathers record that he was probably in Ephesus where he had moved. He was the last remaining witness to Jesus Christ, but a heresy had crept into the early church. And that heresy was denying the physical bodily Jesus Christ. Really interesting. So remember back in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul warned the Ephesian elders. He said, there's coming a time when wolves will come in from your own number, false teachers. They'll be spreading false heresies. Now, Paul said that decades earlier when he was about to leave Ephesus, where he had spent about a year and a half ministering. And he knew he'd never see those elders again, so he pulled them together and he said, hey, listen, false teachers are going to come in from among you. Be warned. They'll be wolves. They'll teach heresies. Well, now we're decades past that statement. That's come true. Now the Apostle John is ministering in Ephesus, and he's writing to these churches in Asia Minor, and he says to them, you know what? We got to combat a heresy that's going around. Now, that heresy, that teaching was something called Docetism, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. Nobody really knows because Koine Greek is dead, but we're going to call it Docetism. It's from the Greek word that means to appear. And so there were those who believed that Jesus did not really have a physical body. It only appeared that way. Now, the reason they believed that is because they were trying to reconcile. How could God become a human being in the flesh? Because the flesh is evil, and the flesh has sin, and the flesh has corruption, and the flesh dies. So how could God become a man in the flesh? And so they were trying to like theologically work this out and wrap their brain around how Christ could be fully God and fully man. And in the early church, they had this weird teaching that here's basically what Doceticism taught. Jesus didn't really have a physical body. It only appeared that way. So he was like this spirit, like this ghost, okay? And it just appeared that he had a physical body. There was another teaching that was also kind of going around at the same time, a man by the name of Cerinthus, and the early church father Irenaeus notes this. Cerinthus taught that the Spirit of God descended upon Christ at his baptism and then left him at his crucifixion. So that was kind of the way Cerinthus, you know, dealt with this problem of Christ. He said, well, okay, Jesus was the Son of God only from his baptism until his crucifixion. I don't know if you remember the 1980s book and movie called The Last Temptation of Christ. But that book and movie was based upon Cerinthus's whole theory that the Spirit of God came upon Jesus at his baptism and left him at his crucifixion. And he was only the Son of God during that period. And then he went back to being a normal man. Now, this all sounds crazy to us, perhaps. And this all sounds left field to us. But my point in telling you this is the early church really was struggling with a physical Jesus. They were struggling with a bodily person that could be 100% God and 100% man at the same time, did not sin, and yet became our atonement and our propitiation for sin. Well, John wants to combat that heresy that's going around these churches. And so he starts off and he says, I want you to understand our hope in Jesus is not a spiritual hope. It's a very real physical hope. Let's go back to 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning. Jesus was from the beginning. That's what John tells us in his gospel, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He says, that which was from the beginning, that which we heard. I mean, we physically heard it with our ears. We heard the truth, that which we have seen with our eyes. We saw him physically. We were eyewitnesses. We saw the Lord, that which we have looked upon. Now, that word there, looked upon, it's a little different from the word heard. It means continue to look. It's a past action and then a continuing action in the present. So in other words, we looked at it, we heard it, we heard his teaching, and we continue to look upon his life and his ministry and his teaching. And that which we have touched with our hands. So like Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas, who said, I won't believe he's physically real unless I touch him with my hands. John says, we touched him with our hands, the word of life. Our hope is real. And he wants to stress that they really did witness the life and ministry of Jesus, that he bodily lived, he bodily died. And this is the gospel, Our hope is not imaginary. And so let me just kind of bring this down to earth for you and I. Here we are in the midst of this pandemic, and there are people who are needing real physical hope. They're down. Maybe you need real physical hope. Well, can I just encourage you? Jesus is not a mythical story. He's not a moral two-way story. He is not a psychological feel-good notion in our head. He's real. He's physically real. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he has come to save those who would believe in him. Our gospel is real. And so the hope we have in Christ, the hope that we're having in the person of Christ, in the power of that person, in the work of Christ in our world, is a very real hope. Don't let anybody tell you it's not. Hope in Christ. Now, I want to kind of build on that. Let's go to the second point. Not only is our hope real in a physical Jesus who is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, who is ruling and reigning, but also our hope is in an intentional Savior. The hope of Jesus is intentional. Now, look what John says in 1 John 1, 2. The life was made manifest. That means that Jesus came to earth and was revealed to be the Christ through his teaching, through signs and wonders, the Spirit, the Word of God, the death, the resurrection. Jesus's ministry was intentional. But notice John goes on to say in verse 2, and we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim, we share it intentionally to you, the eternal life. The eternal life. Now, two things about this verse here in verse 2. I mean, number one, John says, look, we saw Christ. He was made manifest to us. We didn't keep it to ourselves. We shared it freely with the world. Isn't that amazing? You know, normally when people find something like this, they find this incredible truth. They feel like they found gold. They hoard it and they sell it. But the apostles didn't do that. They said, we saw Christ manifested to us. And what did we do with that truth that was manifested to us? We proclaimed it. It was for everyone. You know, another heresy that was plaguing John's early church was this thing called Gnosticism. And it was this belief that, so you had Docetism, you had Corinthus, and then you had Gnosticism. These people were messed up, all right? They had all these different false teachings that had crept into the church. And this is why over and over again, you know, these apostles are leading them back to Scripture. And you had this Gnosticism, and it was this belief that only those who were spiritually elite could know the deep truths of Christ and of the Bible and of God. And so there was kind of this spiritual elite group that would, I don't have time to go into Gnosticism, and you could go on and on about it, and there's a lot I don't even understand about it. And neither do any of you. But there is just a truth there that there were these people in the early church who thought that they had this select private knowledge that was only available to those who were initiated. Does that sound familiar? Only to those who were initiated, this select private knowledge. The gospel knows nothing of any of that, okay? There is no deeper knowledge for only the few. Okay, John says here, no, that knowledge was available to everybody. What we heard, we testified, we proclaimed it, we shared it. Now, what did we proclaim intentionally? What did we share intentionally? Eternal life. Do you see that in verse 2? We shared the eternal life. Jesus's ministry was intentional. Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to bring life. And that is what John is saying was so intentional. They said, we were intentional in what we did and what we did with the knowledge we had. Christ was intentional in his ministry. He wanted to bring eternal life. He was with the Father. Notice verse 2. He was with God. He came from God. It was made manifest to us. He was shown to us, and we shared it. So, you know, you think about this second point here, intentionality. You know, our hope in Christ is not only real, a physical, real, saving God, but it's an intentional Christ where our hope lies. Jesus intentionally came to earth. He intentionally freely gave the message of salvation. He intentionally made it about eternal life. You know, our hope is not just in this life. Our hope is not just in the days that we're living in. The saddest people are the ones that only have hope for today in this life. This life is too fragile. It's too quick. It's fleeting. There's no guarantee. There's no stability in anything around us. And again, this pandemic is showing us that. It's reminding us of this truth. But there is this unmovable truth that Christ brings to us in this shaky world. And he says, look, my kingdom is not of this world, right? I've come to bring you life and give it to you abundantly. I've come to give you eternal life. And so our hope is in eternity. Even if there was no pandemic, the Christian's hope is not in today. The Christian's hope is not in this world. It's not in the kingdoms of this world. It's not in the rulers of this world. It's not in the material possessions of this world. It's in eternity where we look and we hope, where one day we will live and be in the presence of God and in the presence of Christ Jesus. And there will be no more sickness. There will be no more pain. Every tear will be wiped away until we get to that intentional point. In our spiritual journey, we'll continue to have trials and tribulations. But Jesus said, I intentionally came to seek and to save that which was lost. So friend, do you have that intentional relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you have that hope in eternal life that is beyond this world and beyond the grave and beyond the living here? Well, let's go to the last truth that we see in 1 John chapter 1. Not only does John tell us that we serve a very real Christ, and not only does he tell us that we serve an intentional Christ, we have hope, an intentional hope in Jesus and in his mission and in eternal life. But thirdly, we have a relational hope. Notice in verse 3, he takes the real Jesus. He takes the intentional Jesus and he fleshes it out to the churches in Asia and says, now, because we believe in this real Jesus and because we believe in this intentional mission of Jesus, notice verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, there it is, right? Not only do we serve a real Jesus and an intentional Jesus that gives us real hope and intentional hope, but we have relational hope as well. First, we have a relationship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a real relationship with him. That's the first aspect of believing in this real intentional Jesus, is we have this personal relationship with both God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. You know, we can have that relationship wherever and whenever we are. So right now, most of us are quarantined. We're stuck. We're not able to get out. We're not able to fellowship with other people. The good news is we have the relationship with God the Father, his Son Christ, and the Holy Spirit, no matter where we are. I'm reminded of the story that I've shared about the POW who was in the Vietnam Hanoi Hilton. And that man, his book that I've shared with you before, he talks about how he was in isolation for literally months at a time in a little bitty cell, could not talk to anybody, did not even see sunlight for months. I can't imagine. I mean, I cannot imagine. I mean, right now we're in quarantine in our homes and we're all going crazy, right? We're ready to get out, but we can go outside. We can watch television. We can talk to our family. We can pick up the phone and talk to other people. This was a man who in Vietnam was taken prisoner and was literally isolated. That was one of their forms of torture, was complete isolation. And so they would put these men in these boxes for months. If the men would not talk and reveal information. The man who I refer to in this book, talking about this Hanoi Hilton, he talks about one of the things he could do during that time was pray. He would seek God in isolation in prayer. He was ashamed that he hadn't studied his Bible more in his past, that he had blown off church as a young man. He said, man, now I needed it. But he said, now that I was in isolation, the one thing I could do, I could sing. And as hymns would come to my mind and I could recall them, I would sing them. And as verses would come to my mind, what I could pull together, I would quote them, and then I would pray. And he would just meticulously pray in isolation. It was the one relationship he had. Let me just take that example and say to you, wherever we are, whether we're alone, whether we're isolated, whether we're bored, whether we're thrilled, wherever we are in this moment, we can have that personal relationship with God through prayer and through Bible study. That's one of the benefits of this real, intentional Christ that we hope in, is we have a real relational hope. We have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We have that joy wherever we are. I used to know this pastor. His name was Bobby Moore, and he used to say that the Christian has this incredible gold mine called the personal devotional life. He'd always say it just like that, the personal devotional life. And he would urge us. He wrote a book about it. He preached about it quite often. One time I even heard him on Nancy Lee DeMoss's radio program preaching about the personal devotional life. And he would always stress that the Christian needs to take time every day to pray and go to God and open the Bible and have that personal devotional life. Friend, one of the benefits of that real intentional Jesus is the relationship of that personal devotional life with God. Now, the question is, do you have that time with God? Are you making that time with God? I'm so surprised how many Christians, they don't seem to know about this personal devotional life. Maybe we haven't stressed it enough. They say, oh yeah, I kind of pray, and they just kind of haphazardly pray. But no, I mean, do you set aside time daily where you get up, you open the Bible, you pray? I try to set first thing in the morning as that time for me. That's just what works for me. I get up, I have a cup of coffee. You know, one of the best compliments my daughter paid to me, my 13-year-old, she kind of said it as a jab. Now, I know you don't know anything about teenagers jabbing you as parents, but she kind of said it as a jab one day, and she said something about what I do in the morning. And I was talking to somebody and I was saying, yeah, well, when I get up in the morning, you know, I'll do this or I'll do that. And she said, Dad, when you get up in the morning, all you're doing is reading the Bible. And I thought, what a great compliment, right? I mean, she didn't realize that she just paid me a compliment, but she did. And I'm glad she sees that. I'm glad she knows that. Let me ask you, what do you do first thing in the morning? I don't get on Facebook first thing. I don't scroll first thing. You know, a lot of older people, they're like, oh, I read the newspaper. I can care less about the news. That doesn't even exist anymore. The newspaper. I can care less about the newspaper, right? I get headlines from certain newspapers on my computer, but it's always depressing. What do they have to say? You need to get up, just honestly, you need to go to the Word. You need to read some scripture. Pick a book of the Bible. Say, I'm going to have my personal devotional time in a particular book of the Bible. It doesn't matter which book. There's nothing in the Bible that says this book is new and improved. In fact, the Bible says all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is profitable. So pick you a book. Get you a study Bible. I don't know. Whatever you need. Get you a journal. Whatever works for you. Just start reading. Read a chapter a day. Read it. Be encouraged by it. Be challenged by it. You say, well, I don't feel anything. Well, you know what? I don't feel anything every time I eat, but you know, if I stopped eating for about a month, I would certainly feel it. I would certainly understand it. So don't worry about it. You're feeding your soul every day when you go to the Word. And then pray. I mean, have a list of things you pray for. Say, I'm going to pray for the church. I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for the lost. And have that personal devotional time. All right, let me move on. The other thing that John says is not only do we have this benefit of a personal relationship with God because of this real intentional Jesus, but the second part of that relation is this. We have a relationship with other believers. Notice what he says. That which we have seen and heard. Now we're back in verse 3. We proclaim also to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So the first thing, our fellowship is with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. But notice, John also says, because we're all in Christ, we have fellowship with one another. One of the beautiful things about that real intentional Jesus is he makes life relational with God the Father, and he makes life relational with other believers. What an incredible blessing we have to have other believers that we can fellowship with. I know we're all missing that one-to-one fellowship, but we're seeing so many of you reach out with social media and other avenues, and you're fellowshipping together, and we're so, so thankful for that. You know, a lot of times people say, man, I just wish that I could see God or Christ or the Holy Spirit physically. You know, I need God with skin on. I mean, it's fine to talk to God, but he's invisible and he's not in my room, you know, physically. I need a physical God sometimes. Have you ever thought that? Ever thought that? That it would just be nice to, like, actually be in the physical presence of Christ or the Spirit or whatever? Well, let me just throw this out there for you and we're going to end. You actually do have that opportunity when you're with God's people. They are the body of Christ. And every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And when Christians come together, they are Jesus with skin on. And so one of the ways we feel the physical nurture, love, and warmth of God, and when I say God, I mean the Trinity, but you know what I mean. One of the ways we feel this physical nurture of God is his people, is the fellowship we have with his people. And so he ends this in verse 4. I'm writing these things so that your joy will be complete. I mean, you have a physical, real Christ that you hope in. He's intentional. We hope in an intentional mission and message of Christ. And we have this real relationship with God and Christ and the Spirit and with his people. We fellowship with one another. And that is an incredible hope that we have to get us through any day that we begin with. So, that's our message this morning. And I hope that your hope is in this Christ. It's where John begins his letter to give the churches hope. And no matter where we are, we have this incredible light, this incredible hope that's unshakable, unmovable, firm foundation in the days that we live. We love you. Thank you for letting me come into your home. Look forward to seeing you physically. We're going to do that very soon. Looks like it's going to be happening very soon. Can't wait. God bless you. Goodbye.
Well, good morning. I'm Danny Butler, Connections Pastor here at Celtis First Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in to our online services this morning. If you have any questions about the sermon, or if you have a spiritual need that you would like a pastor to address, maybe you want to learn more about salvation and how you can be a child of God and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we're here to help you answer those questions. The best way to reach us is to email us. And if you'll send an email to info@celtis.org, one of the pastors will respond to your email in a very timely fashion. There is no doubt that we all desire to worship together in person and to have some sense of normalcy return to our daily lives. And your pastors, we're meeting together frequently throughout the week, especially as new information is received, to use that information to wisely lead our church through this season. And we also make it a priority to communicate with you using every medium at our disposal, whether that's Facebook, which you guys are very well versed in using, or text messages or email. But ultimately, we want you, if you have any questions, to go to our website. That's where we're going to have the most recent up-to-date information. And so if you have a question about how Celtis is responding to the coronavirus, I encourage you to visit our church website at celtis.org. Once again, that's celtis.org. The www is not necessary. Finally, we want to thank you for your faithful giving. You know, the coronavirus may have changed that we worship together corporately, but it hasn't changed the way that you guys are worshiping individually and financially. Some of you have even asked, how can you continue to give to the local church? Well, there are two ways to do that. If you wish to give online, you can go to our church website, celtis.org, and you can find there a guided tutorial on how to set up your online giving. Or if you wish to give via regular U.S. Postal Service mail, you can put your tithe or your giving in an envelope and address it to Celtis First Baptist Church, P.O. Box 3043, Lufkin, Texas, 7-5-9-0-3. Church family, I want to thank you once again for joining with us online this morning. We are longingly waiting for that day when we can reunite as a church body and practice the one another's. We love you, we're praying for you, and as always, we are here for you.